August 23, 2017, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
For Pedro Show in Pedro, Brother Matt, now at his Moss pad, recovering from hip surgery, hip replacement surgery. He's using a walker. It's hard to get around. So for first time ever, I'm using FaceTime instead of Skype because Joe Berardi's little smart leash and his band mates in the Double Knot Spy Car. In fact, we just heard Prelude to a Murmuration right after a live version of John Coltrane and his quartet doing Nature Boy. Joe, did you have music in the in your family? Did people play?
Yeah, actually, my father was a trumpet player.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Did he play at the house? Did he do it for fun? Or?
No, he was a professional musician. The thing is that...
Oh, great.
He died when I was just a baby, so I didn't grow up with him.
Okay.
Being present.
No, but the DNA was there. The DNA was there.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, I mean, I always was told all the stories about him. And he used to play in big bands in the we lived in New York. I was born in New York. So he was, like a trumpet man in the 40s and 50s big band era. Played with all those, like Benny Goodman and all those hot shots.
Backing up the clarinet player, the licorice stick.
I guess. I mean, it was.
So when did you get into drums?
Drums? Well, I started on guitar when I was about 12 years old. And because I just was really into music, loved listening to music, so it was pretty natural thing that I would be involved in something. I started on guitar and then played for maybe a year or so, but I had an interest in drums. I had drumsticks, used to bang around on just on pots and pans and that kind of thing. And my next door neighbor had a drum set, and I went over there, and I had never played a drum set, but I found that I could play drums better just sitting down than I was doing on guitar. So I traded him, and
You traded instruments. What was his name?
His name was Rocky.
Hey, Rocky, thank you very much for making that trade.
Yeah, thank you, Rocky, wherever you are. Yeah.
Did you play in school?
No, not in a school band. I had my own little teenage rock band, but I was not in the school band. I didn't have any sort of real training. I just self-taught,
No, that's okay. I'm just curious sometimes.
Yeah.
Because, a lot of schools have gotten rid of music.
I know.
And it's one of the reasons, for example, Flea started that Silver Lake Conservatory. He went back to his high school and they found out there was no more music program.
Yeah, it's definitely
way down. One reason why I like to talk about people's music journeys is because there's millions of different ways. No two ways are the same.
Exactly.
Do you remember the first gig you ever played, Joe?
I do, pretty much. Yeah, we had our little teenage band, and we got hired to play this girl from our class. We got hired to play a party, a poolside party. This was in Florida where I grew up.
What part?
Daytona Beach.
Okay.
Yeah.
East side.
Exactly. Yeah. Central Florida.
I-95. I've been...
Yeah.
Or whatever it's called, Highway 1A1 or something. U.S.
A1A is...
That's what it is, like, A1A. I'm sorry.
A1A is like the PCH of Florida.
That's right.
Exactly. Very and 95 is like the 5 freeway.
The I-5, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Except it's a little more on the coast, not straight down the middle.
Yeah, it is. It runs up right up the
Which
coast.
Is, you know what's just trippy? The one that goes down the middle, I-75, damn if it doesn't go all the way to Detroit.
All the way from the...
Yeah, because Scott used to, he lived in Sarasota, so when he'd go back to Michigan, he'd use I-75 to go all the way.
Oh, wow.
So how was that first gig? Was it a pants shitter?
Well, it was great, actually. I mean, I'm sure we sounded horrible, but
Were you scared?
Yeah, little bit, yeah. A little bit scared.
Oh, you know what I forgot to ask you? What was the first record you bought?
First record I bought? With my own money kind of thing, right?
Yeah, that somebody didn't pick for you.
Yeah, because the Cowboy Songs was a gift. I think it was a Rolling Stones collection, like Big Hits.
Face Cookies.
High Tide and Green Grass.
Oh, that one. Yeah, they had a few of them. In the U.S., there was a few anthologies.
Yeah. That was the first, I think it was the first real record I bought. And then I quickly got Bob Dylan, Highway 61. And that was, I wore that out.
Yeah. Even though there ain't a lot of, there's some drums on there.
There's drums on that whole thing. He had gone.
Yeah, I'm thinking more of bringing it back home in another style.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's drums on the whole thing.
Yeah,
kind of pretty normal stuff for a kid growing up in the '60s.
Normal. I hate that word. Can we move on to Paul?
Absolutely.
Okay, Paul, what's your earliest musical memory?
Well, a pretty influential one was watching my cousin Kevin play. Hey, Mike?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Do you have speakers on?
Yeah, of course.
Can you turn those off?
No, because I got to record your fucking voice for the show.
Okay, all right. All right.
Look, I do this all the time. This is all the time. There's a problem with bandwidth. That's the problem.
Okay, no problem.
Plus, I think this FaceTime has some kind of like cancellation stuff where they're trying to make clear calls, but it ends up muting half your fucking syllables.
Okay. All right, I'm hearing the sound of my own voice, which I...
Yeah, well, that happens because you're probably hitting it too hard. Maybe back up or turn down the gain.
Oh, here's what I'll do. All right. Okay. Well, yeah, okay. So big influence on me was watching my cousin Kevin in Bakersfield. He was kind of a hard-ass redneck farmer, but he did know how to play Ballad of the Green Beret on guitar. And that was just like magic to me. So, made me want to play guitar. And I did, I got good training playing trombone at a elementary school when, back when California again did have
excellent education. Let's go back to your first music memory. So you had music in the house.
Not a whole lot. I come from what you would call an anti-musical family. I mean,
we had about 11 records. Who was this guy playing guitar? He was in your family, right? He's your brother?
No.
Oh, he's just a buddy. Okay.
Just my cousin in Bakersfield.
Well, he's kind of family. So what?
No, he's totally. Oh, yeah, we were pretty tight. But, yeah, I'd see him play once a year when we, you know, stayed on the ranch.
Okay, so, yeah, this wasn't really in your pad. It's when you came visit. Okay, so back at home, did you have any music in the pad?
Not really. I mean,
somebody
like our
play records.
Orchestra.
I mean, there might have been listeners, right? Maybe not.
Yeah,
music
we had Glenn Campbell, Wichita lineman, and Fiddler on the Roof. We literally owned about 11 records, and that's all. My parents were just not musical in any way, so.
Well, a little bit, because they're
playing. A little bit, not, yeah.
What probably about radio?
KHJ was the big influence when I finally started really listening to music a lot.
KHJ radio, AM radio.
KHJ, yeah, 93.
I remember when I came to California. Yeah.
Oh, it was
that huge.
Was huge. It was
a real Don Steele, Charlie Tuna, people like that.
Yep.
Okay. So you said something about trombone and shit. So how'd that happen? Because of school?
Yeah, our elementary school out in Ventura County, of the town of 600 people, had a full-on school orchestra with a real music teacher. And, yeah, I was deeply into trombone.
Did you play in the marching band?
Not marching, but we had an orchestra.
Okay. So I heard bones were kind of good for marching band because they had big mouthpieces.
Oh, yeah. They're loud as hell, too.
Well, the thing when you're marching with the trumpet, and especially the French horn, I heard there's so little mouthpieces that it was really fucking hard.
Oh, yeah. I see that. Yeah,
I don't know. This is what I hear. You know, this is one of the reasons I do the show, so I can learn about this shit.
Yeah, so, the trombone mouthpiece is very good.
Did you play... Because you don't end up a horn man.
No, I did resurrect it. I was in a funk band in the 80s for a while playing rudimentary parts. But, yeah, I started on guitar when I was 17, my okay. senior year of high school.
So do you remember maybe first gig?
Oh, yeah, it was at the Kirchhoff Coffee House at UCLA.
UCLA, I played that yeah. coffee house with D. Boone.
I'll bet you have.
Yeah, I think a couple times. Some funny stories about that. But that was your first gig, huh?
First gig. I've been playing guitar about 6 months.
What was it, like an open mic thing?
No, we actually had a gig. I had a folk duo with a far more advanced guitar player who, and we went on to, we played Europe. We were in Europe for 6 months and turned into quite the musical adventure. But he was definitely my guru when I first started
playing. What's his name? We got to give him credit.
His name's Greg Gold, and he teaches psychology up at Humboldt State or Arcata.
Thank you, and, brother Greg.
Still probably the best bluegrass guitar player I've ever played with. He was quite advanced.
He's probably even getting better.
I hope so. If you keep playing, you don't get worse.
Okay, let's move on to Mark. Mark, what's your oldest musical memory?
Hey, Mike. Hey.
I'm giving you time to think.
What'd you say?
Earliest musical memory, please.
Definitely my mom playing piano.
Ah, so you had music in the house. You had music makers in the house.
Just my mom.
Oh, that's okay. Ma's, yeah. Ma's count.
Yep.
And you had a piano. What was it?
Yep.
Stand up or a grand or what?
It was an upright. I had a regular full size upright for a long time, and then when I was about 10. They bought me a spin it, which I still have.
Okay, so I was going to ask you that. Did they want your mom wants you to, since she plays, she wanted you to play? That's the way Dee Boone was with guitar. She played guitar, so she wanted her son to play guitar. So was it?
Yeah, she wasn't super serious about it. She had a nice feel and came from, you know, that whole side of the family was musical. And
sure.
There were some professionals and. So I just started playing pretty young, you know.
Did you have lessons?
I sure did for about 9 years.
Was the teacher Blige?
It was classical and a really awesome teacher. She was an Armenian woman who had two big pianos in her living room. It was great.
Oh, so it wasn't Blige. I mean, you liked it because a lot of people had bad experiences with piano teachers I've had on the show.
Of course, I didn't love practicing, but, you know.
But you did it.
Well, sometimes.
Look, I've had people on the show that have actually quit music because they had such horrible piano early experiences.
Yeah.
Joe knows one. Motoko Honda.
Motoko Honda?
She gave up piano because of Lane. She rediscovered it through Leo Wada Smith, right? The trumpet man from Cal Arts. Avant-garde. She had such a bad experience with this classical and this discipline and kind of brown shirt stuff, you know, that it made her sick. And she came to love music again through the avant-garde. I thought that was an incredible story.
Yeah, she went to Cal Arts and studied with Leo Smith, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so
that opened her up.
Yeah, yeah, right. And so, but you had a great teacher that encouraged you. Okay.
Yeah, she was brilliant.
Do you remember her name?
Yeah, Louise Meacham.
Okay. Thank you, Miss Louise.
Yep.
And so, now, you didn't stay on piano.
Well, basically, I was in a sort of a rock and roll thing in high school for a second.
Ah, so you played guitar.
No, yeah. No, I played piano. And I.
Oh, you played piano in a rock and roll band?
Yeah.
That was really stupid of me.
High school.
Paul, that was stupid of me because actually, first rock and roll is piano music. Guitar came later.
Yeah, well, I couldn't play anything that good on piano, but I.
No, but just to set the record, just to set the record straight, rock and roll is piano music. It's got distorted. Maybe guitars are easier to carry around and they're more econo, but it is piano music. I forgot to ask you, first record you bought.
That I bought myself was Black Sabbath, Master of Reality.
Oh, wow, that was a good one. The third one.
Yep.
I saw that tour. That was a trip.
I don't know why it was that record. It just...
It's black and purple, right?
Yep. I think there was an older kid that had it, or I heard it, you know.
Did you guys have this scene where people would paint their bedroom black and use ultraviolet lamps and posters?
Yeah, he was one of those guys. Yeah.
See, the guy who turned me on to Black Sabbath was the same way. His name was Raymond Bernard. He was a cool people here in Park Western. Well, that's torn down now. But yeah, they made their rooms like these trippy pads. Like, we didn't know about clubs, but we knew about dudes' bedrooms.
Yeah, with those weird posters that
that
glowed, with the ship and the, I don't know what else.
Do you remember your first gig? You did a rock and roll gig?
I do.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, playing piano in a kind of bogus rock band at the Royal Room at Canoga Bowl. And I don't know how the hell we could play there because it was a bar.
Canoga Bowl, so you're in the valley.
Yeah.
At a bowling alley. That also had a bar.
It's still there.
Okay. No, but you know what? A lot of shit used to happen at bowling alleys. I was reading about the, I don't know if you know about these cats called Discordians, Greg Hill and Kerry Thornley, but
yeah.
They started one in Whittier. And they started that whole movement in a bowling alley in Whittier. So, look, I want to play a song here from the new album.
Okay, good.
It's called... Marginalia?
Yep, yeah.
Did you guys make that word up?
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We made a brand new word.
Yeah, brand new word. But we're gonna play it right now from the brand new album from Double Knot Sidecar. I'm
Thank you. こんばんは。
Watt for Pedro show started off with the marginalia. How do you guys say it?
Marginalia.
Okay. Double Knot Spy Car from the new album. Moof. I think the front of Vince Moroni's drum says Foom.
Boom. Yeah.
So Moof Foom. You guys are kind of inverting.
Foom Corp.
Foom Corp. That's yeah. it. So yeah. I know he's on the record too, which is a great call by you guys. Then we had Mind Jail from Liars, brand new out of Wales. Well, actually London now. Got a Welsh dude in the band though. Love Theme from late. That's got a nephew Alex from Dirty Beaches, Lake Crossing. I think they're gonna go on tour. Dual Decibel System, brand new. Spindle, Breakfast Cowboy with Toast Bunk. Yeah, I collaborated with some guy from Tokyo to make a tune called Kambawa, which means good evening. Healers out of Sauk Valley, Illinois. Got tagged by a car there last tour. Got big black streak, you know, because these mirrors nowadays are plastic, so I put a big streak on my boat. But like this song, Live to Tell. My fucking drummer man, Jer, he said, you know, because guy roared off down an off-ramp, he said, chase him. I said, fuck no. Let's live to tell. Yeah, finally, Double Knot Spy Car with another new tune from the latest album, Moof, Loose Cannons and Tight Quarters. We're at the end of the first hour of the August 23rd, 2017 edition of Watt Pedro Show. Special guests via fake time. Paul, Joe, and Mark. Hold tight for hour two. August 23rd, 2017. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show. We'll be right back.
hermanos, estamos aquí reunidos en la Santa Misa, reunión del pueblo de Dios, para participar y compartir la vida y misterio de nuestro Señor Jesucristo. Como todos somos hermanos, debemos ayudarnos y darnos la mano. Por lo tanto, al final de la canción, pasaremos por sus puestos y esperaremos por sus ofrendas. Su aporte como obra de caridad, no se preocupen, serán conservadas en su mayor parte en el Banco del Espíritu Santo para ampliar nuestras operaciones. Todo bajo la jurisdicción del Vaticano, República Libre y Soberana. Nuestro consejero papal de las finanzas estará encargado de tu dinero. Venderemos activos, compramos acciones a empresas dedicadas a la construcción de armamentos para todos esos países necesitados de bombas, tanques, rifles y preservativos. Créame, el negocio de las armas da dinero. También purificaremos el dinero endemoniado de la mafia italiana proveniente de los frutos de la droga y se lo devolveremos puramente limpio y legal.
Los favores de los cristianos, 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 los favores de los crist just a dream after all these years. I belong to you. I married you, my dear. That newspaper place. You belong to me. Little shiny girl, you're my beautiful baby.
Pezzo è una cover di Bugo, dicono che somiglia a lui, quindi alcuni pezzi potrebbero ricordare lui. Mi è sembrato giusto, onesto, fare questo tributo a Bugo, quindi cellulare scarico.
Cellulare scarico. Per la strada in panico. Cellulare scarico. E divento acido. La mia birra non c'è più. A Giuseppe manco un dito. Il cellulare scarico. La mia birra non c'è più, a Giuseppe manca un dito, il cellulare scarico. No.
citofono.
Oh, zia Giuseppe, che non la faccio l'interno. Se lo faccio la dice dopo, che mi rompo i coglioni, di mettere sul sito di CD.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with brand new off of Moof, the new Double Knot Spy Car album, Man Without Steel. And we had Boris, their brand new record, Dear, with Down, Domination, Waiting Noise. Revoluta, Roja with Dimos Gracias. Alexander Delarg. This stuff here is from Puglia, part of Italy. Like the top of the heel, if you look at it like a boot. Yella. Or Giallo, and Super Freak, Always Late, Gabasio Fulvio with Cellulare Scaricio, Your Living Stone All Over Me, Arabia Saudade. And then finally, another new tune from Double Knot Spy Car, the Hesher Variation. Let's talk about how did Double Knot Spy Car come about, guys?
Take it, Paul.
Well, it was the mid-90s, and all of us were kind of between things. It started with three of the Bone Daddies. Mike
Oh,
Tempo.
I remember Bone Daddies.
Yeah, yeah.
Fezzes. Kind of it was a Fez band, right?
Band that should have dominated, but the Red Hot Chili Peppers stole all of our thunder, God bless them. But, yeah, it came out of three members of that band, me, Mike Tempo, and Rick Moores, and a guy named Bron Tiemann. And we just started jamming in the garage, and we were going to get a vocalist, but it was like, wow, this sounds pretty good as instrumental. So I think it might have been the first instrumental band any of us had ever been in. So that was the genesis of it. And then
who named
Marcus
the band?
Replaced. Sorry? I mean,
where was the name change from Bone Daddy to Double Knot Spy Car?
Well, there was an intermediate name, Pink Floyd the Barber.
Okay. And which is riffing on that stupid Andy Griffith show, right?
Hey, man, watch what you're saying there. That was that was our Bible growing up. That was where we got our morality from.
Me oh, really? Family. I don't know how many North Carolina towns you know that has one black guy.
Well,
I'm sorry to flush the punch bowl there.
I'm not saying it was a good moral guide, but it was our guide to proper living as we knew it.
Anyway, so this interim.
Yeah, it was Pink Floyd the Barber and.
How'd Joe get in the band?
Joe's the new guy.
Yeah.
Tempo left in
2000?
2000, at the start of the millennium, and Joe's the new guy, basically. He's only been in it for 17 years.
And did he bring the name?
No, we were getting ready. Our first CD was done in 1997, and Mike Tempo went to a fancy party in Westwood, and a lawyer said, if you call the band Pink Floyd the Barber, Pink Floyd's going to bury you. So we scrambled for a new name. And Double Knot Spy Car comes from an episode of the Beverly Hillbillies, where Jethro wants to be 007, and he converts their truck into a spy car. It had an oil squirter.
It was to get girls, right? He was always doing something to get girls.
It's always about girls with Jethro.
You know, I remember one time he asked Jed, Uncle Jed, and Jed says, well, you got to get in front. I used to go in front of the post office and whittle. So he's like on fucking Hollywood Boulevard trying to get the big, you know, 9-inch curlers. Yeah, something else. He tried to get in a band, too. He thought that was a way to get girls.
Yep. And he also became a movie producer and called everyone baby.
He got on a rocket, and actually, they thought he was an alien. And when he landed in the ocean, his first words were, where's all the moon women?
You know a lot about this show.
So Bone Daddy's. That was a thriving thing all during 80s, 90s. There's a little bit of a part where you're Pink Floyd the Barber. What was the first Double Knot Spy Car gig with Joe?
With
maybe Knitting Factory? Is that possible?
You mean the West Hollywood, the Shitting Factory?
Yeah, yeah. We used to open for you guys. It was really fun. That was a great venue.
You dug it, huh?
Yeah.
Man, I got a sterile fucking thing off that pad. But, you know, but I'm grateful for any gig. I don't want to sound ungrateful. I'm sorry.
Good bands, though.
Yeah, but wasn't there a weird vibe? And then the people booking it too, Liz and, you know, Bruce was there, a good people. There was just something about that pad. Maybe it
being, room.
Being inside a mall and folks doing the parking in the back, you know.
Yeah, it was a weird building.
It sucked.
Yeah. Anyway, so do you remember that?
Sort of.
Okay.
We're sort of creating an amalgamated memory because none of us have a verity of memory.
Okay,
so.
That's all right. When you joined the band, though, did you learn material? Or did you help write material right at the beginning there, Joe?
Well, no, I learned, you know, as much as I could of the existing material,
like
which
is
quite a lot. And I had been in the band for, you know, I don't know, maybe 6 months or so, and then we probably started to write together. Because the band does write a lot of stuff is sort of a joint effort. Everybody throws in ideas and we piece together the end result. And but at the beginning, I mean, they already had a lot of great material.
Yeah, probably a set worth, right? So you could play gigs, yeah.
And to this day, though, I still don't know. Like, if you say the name of a tune, some of the tunes, I have to be refreshed on, well, which tune is that? Because there's no lyrics, and some of the song titles just, it's like, I don't put them together with the sound of the music. You know what I mean?
So what helps you remember some kind of technique like Jimmy Cagney gangster slaps?
No, the bass player tells it.
Yeah. I just look over at Mark and
some
go, fun,
kind of, some kind of flying ninja kick to the side of the head. Or,
yeah, well, there's certain tunes, like there's one called, now I don't even remember the name of it, but it starts out where I count it off, instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, I just do two grunts.
Ah!
It starts off,
It's a grunt tune.
And that counts the tune in. So, if I forget, if it's like, I think that's the tune, I'll just say to Mark, is that the two grunts? And it's like, yeah. So.
We're going to play Peaches and Herbs here from the new record.
Thank you. Has not slid me a hold and left me settling down, stagnant and elegant, where the daylight shines on half-buried walls, on the city's misused edges, where orange highway barrels fade, gradually lessening their message. Slowly I rise from the darkness that always cloaks the underside of a freeway overpass, past old political signs and the five-minute propaganda newspaper, past faded signs painted long ago on buildings. Gently I angle into my destination, racing patiently with the sun. I spread off to the toward the evening, meeting every night's goal. I may think I am alone, unable to affect the planet, but time has a spell for me and draws me in, showing me what I have done, even after all the agony of sitting alone, waiting for something to happen, looking for my results. Yes, time has not lost me. I feel an urgency now, hemmed in by frustration, breathing new ideas as easy as the dew dries, thinking of something to say to someone. So torpor, hard, and dusty can be refreshed away. I fall out of misery, forward into time.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you August by Cake.
Watch for Pigo show. We heard Peaches, Sands, Herbs, Double Knot, Spy Car, then Somewhere Far Away from Tenko, Tokyo. Automatic Sam out of Holland with Ukyo. And Time Has Not Forgotten Me by Joe Brewer, Jack Brewer's cousin, out of Madison, Wisconsin. Guy by Voices. Not the new album anymore because he just made 101st one. You believe this guy's made 100 albums? This was a double one. Yeah. Bob Pollard, incredible cat, man. 5A on the inside. And finally, Hairsuit by Double Knot Spy Car. Now, this album, Foom, Moof. Not Foom, sorry, Vince.
Bless you.
No, I was just confused. But thanks for the blessing anyway. What's the concept? This is a different record for you guys.
Yeah, it's basically a guest record. It's we invited different people to play with us.
And even kind of composing, right? Because it's made out of improvising and jams.
Absolutely. Some of the songs are jams, and some of them were actually, you know, we sat around through ideas, regular technique until the song's done, you know.
Well, how I know it is from my experience, because I think I'm on three tunes.
You are.
Yeah, and then also you say maybe a bonus track?
Well, there's two that on the record and then the bonus
track. That's what it is. That's what it is. And I think I'm on the Bolero one, right?
That's the bonus one.
Yeah, the Unraveled Bolero.
Right. Unraveled Bolero.
Yeah, right. And then there was a couple others where I recognized. And I came up, was it Echo Park or Silver Lake? It was sweaty, but it was fun.
Yeah, that's where we are now, at my studio.
Okay, yeah, I really dug that experience. You guys were so kind to me. And it was a pass shooter for me, of course, because I didn't want to let you down. But you guys were very welcome and brought me in. And I'm wondering, was that kind of approach used with the other guests?
Well, yours was somewhat unique in that we set up and you started a bass line, and I don't think we stopped playing for 3 hours.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
So it was one long musical journey, and it was really great. But it changed so much over the time that we managed to chop it up into three very different songs. So that was a kind of unique approach that we didn't do with the other guests.
The other guys, you had more like some structure, and they came in through in some parts.
We would jam. Someone would do something cool, and that would kind of become the hook. It was, you know, it started with improv.
I don't really know, because that's why I'm asking you.
Well, the thing is, that last song, Like Standing Water, with Woody Aplinoff, that was done the same way as with you. It was a jam.
Okay, Woody.
And that's what's on the record.
Woody, a student of Nels Klein, you know, in the School of Improv. I have big respect for Woody.
Yeah, great.
So he kind of jammed like I did. So his experience was kind of like mine. Well, yeah, for example, what about the Vince Moroney stuff?
Well, that was added. The horns were added off of it after the fact. There's not very much thing where someone overdubs. Most of it's done in the room.
All together, yeah.
But that's a case where Vince and the Carlos Alvidrez overdubbed horns.
Yeah, Carlos, he did great too.
Yeah.
Man.
And so that just sort of put the finishing touches on that too.
Great. We're at the end of the second hour, August 23rd, 2017 edition of Walk for Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. August 23rd, 2017. It's the third hour of the Walk for Pedro Show. Thank you. spark the light. Easily you can find my words. I make count say, and I just pray. How I know to my baby.
Could take you to what's snowing with blue in the same day you do. I bet you'll move here soon. As for when I will see you, I doubt it will be soon. In LMI Valley is not what I'm used to.
When it's in the neck, everything will be different. And when I'll be taken care of. If I can take you. I'm gonna go back. I want to go back. What's the rest of?
organization called the 501c4. They've become the favorite vehicle for billionaires and multimillionaires who want to have influence over American politics, but don't want anyone to know what they're up to.
Watch for Beaver Show. Start off the third hour with Unraveled Bolero, a special bonus track from the Double Knot Spy Car album. Foom. No, move. I can't get it out. I can picture that kick drum head. Bruce Maroney's. Okay, sorry. Sorry about that. Then we heard FGH with Syncope Chinatown from the Mailman. Yeah, that Hamburg and those guys, Zagreb, Space Pony out of Ravenna on my head, and finally Chino Ghetto from Starwalk. With Starwalk, and they're from the west side there. Chris Candy. Good cats. I mean, it must have been a little bit of editing. Because if mine was a few hours, I mean, there was a lot of hours of stuff.
Yeah, it was a lot of editing.
So how was that done between the four of you? Was it a dream by committee kind of thing?
Partly. I started it. Paul worked on it a little, and then we all got together and argued about it.
There was a lot of arguing.
Yeah, yeah. Or finagling, or dickering, or...
Bargaining.
Bargaining, that's it. I'll let you have this.
Bart basically would start the edit process, and then we'd all throw in ideas. Because somebody do it their own. You can't really start with 3 hours.
We got dropouts, Joe. I can't hear what you're saying.
Okay. Just saying that somebody has to start the edit process if you have like a 3 hour batch of music.
Yeah.
Someone needs to call that down to some reasonable length. And then we just get our idea stuff.
What about song titles? How did that happen?
That was hard, as hard, if not harder, than making the music and edit. we have a long list of titles, and we went through them. And we just, I don't know why, in this particular record, we weren't finding anything that was matching the mood of the song. So we asked a lot of the people that were on it to contribute ideas. And actually, Nels had a really nice little list of tunes, of titles.
Yeah, he's a good song namer. I did a project with him called Big Walnuts Yonder, and he came up with Sponge Bath.
That's really good. We would have grabbed that one if you hadn't.
Yeah.
But Nels actually, so we titled the tune that Nels is on, Tale of the Comet. That was his own idea.
Ah.
He just threw that out there. Okay. But he also, in his list, was Moof.
M-O-O-F. Okay.
And so we thought, we were at a total loss for, like, what do we call the whole thing? And we grabbed that one because it's evocative, but it does, you don't know what it means. It doesn't.
Well, you know where I hear Moof? You know where I first heard Moof? There used to be a Mac, I don't know, meme of a two-headed cow. Two cow, and that's what it would say. It would say Moof.
Moof, really?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In fact, it might be its fucking name. I don't know. Two cows, there used to be a Mac. We're talking the 80s, you know.
Right.
Oldie time.
That's funny.
It was a two-headed cow.
Interesting. Well, we could have used that for the cover image, but we didn't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Nels contributed, you know, at least a couple of titles. And yeah, I don't know. we had a lot of back and forth emails about song titles. A lot.
Okay, we're going to play Tale of the Comet, which is Nels Klein.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Tale of the Con, that's Nels Klein with Double Knot Spy Car. And then Antonio Ramirez, Marco Sorato, Maria Diaz with Panetta Savella, Criminal Luminosity, they're out of Barcelona. Double Knot Spy Car, Criminal Luminosity, who's on that one?
That's Elvis Kuhn from the group Fiddler.
Yeah. Younger,
pretty blazing young dude.
Yeah. In fact, a lot of crazy young guys in that. Well, three.
Yeah, they're great. The Fiddler's fantastic.
What a name.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's right. What the fuck, you know? And then Up All Night, Vistain, Shinobi Ninja, the Bending Spoons, Bronx, the Osaka Bronx, the three X's, Poser number one, and finally, The Rhymes of Chimney. Double Knot Spy Car. It's like the Bells of Rimney.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got it.
So we are kind of the same age.
Yep.
I dare young people to guess that title reference. Damn. So who's on that?
That's Chris Lawrence, who's a very talented multi-instrumentalist. He does a lot of country stuff, but he can get pretty out there if he wants to.
And
he brought in his 12-string, and it's going to sound like the Birds a little bit.
It's a bitchin' tune. But
thank you.
I thought there was a ref there. I was just gambling. I was rolling the dice. But okay, what's the next plans? You got a gig, a release thing coming up?
Yeah, we're playing at Tex on Saturday, September 2nd
at
9 o'clock.
That's T-A-I-X, people.
Yep.
On Sunset Boulevard.
Yes, sir.
And when? September?
2nd.
2.
Yep.
2.
Okay. And so people go there and support them. What other plans you got? Are you taking this on some kind of like Paul McCartney and Wings World Tour thing?
We're going to gig till the money runs out.
Okay. But y'all going to take it on the road?
We would like to, yeah. Stu has always been threatening to bring us to New York, and we just have to follow through on that. We'll be doing we have a few other local shows coming up,
too. And then you could probably play somewhere in between.
Maybe.
Maybe. That's a good idea.
We have a big following in Arkansas.
What part?
I'm not even joking.
No, what part?
What part are they? Where are they from?
I'm not sure.
In the middle, Little Rock.
Little Rock.
You know, my pops' people was from the
Texarkana, Canada.
Yeah, that's the west side, right? And also, the college is on the west in Fayetteville. My pops' people were from
Fayetteville.
Yeah,
that's where they're from.
Razorbacks. Yeah, that's the college town. That's in the Ozarks. It's very pretty.
I've heard it's beautiful.
Yeah, righteous there. And then those hills actually go into Missouri. In Springfield, and that's where Charlie Hayden is actually from.
Over the
border, but not too far away. So, and I got to play with Tab Falco. If Johnny Cash comes out, you know, there's nothing wrong with having fans there. It's good.
No, not at
I think it means down the river, Arkansas. And Illinois meant up the river. And there's a part not too far from Little Rock that called Hot Springs, where you weren't allowed to fight. And then mobsters later on, even they had something called Bathhouse Row, and nobody could shoot anybody while you're there. You know, it's a little calm zone. So I hope you guys get to play through there and get to New York, play all over. I want to come see you guys do this material. It is, of course, going to be reinterpreted without the guests and with the core group. But,
For the show on the 2nd, September 2nd, we're actually going to have a few guests come in. Sylvia Juncosa is going to come in. Joe Baiza.
Yeah, Joe Baiza. I get to play with him Sunday.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Joe is amazing. So probably four or five of the local guests are going to come in and do their song.
So September 2nd at Tex on Sunset Boulevard up in the east part of Hollywood. So please go to that.
It's free. Again, no cover charge.
Oh, yeah, that's great, too.
Can't beat it.
You guys, Joe, Mark, Paul, I want to thank you so much for having me aboard to be part of this project. I want to thank you also for being on the show And
we can't thank you enough for both of that. I mean, it's great to have you on the record, and thanks for having us on this podcast.
And promise me when I know you're going to make some new Double Knot Car Spy fucked up what can't talk right music, and when that happens, please let's do another show and talk about it.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, it's been the August 23rd, 2017 edition of the Peter Show. Special guest, Double Knot Spy Car. Their new album, Moof.
Moof.
Good people, keep your powder dry.